I've asked someone to come up and read the text. What I want you guys to do is grab your Bibles or open your apps or whatever it is you do and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Sometimes it's nice having just a beautiful, wonderful female voice read scripture. You know what I'm saying? You guys hear enough from us, so we're going to do that this morning. And why don't you guys even stand this morning as we read God's Word?
And if you don't bring your Bible to church, he will ask you to read from it. So
she didn't have it.
Okay, 1 Corinthians 12 through 27. For just as the body is one and has many members, all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks or slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it.
Thank you. All right, you guys may be seated. It was kind of neat in Terry's opening prayer today. Something along the lines was prayed, thank you that we have a place where we can come joyfully together as members of a body. And what we're going to do is we're going to stay on Nuts and Bolts for a few more weeks, but we're going to do a little bit of a different format. And what Nuts and Bolts has been is basically to educate you guys about what we believe the purpose of the church is, what we believe the purpose of the door is. And 5 years ago, three of us sat around the table because there's these things when you go to start a church called bylaws that are necessary. How many of you know what church bylaws are? A couple. They're things that aren't fun. Basically, it's this whole makeup, and Brent's going to get into this because I don't know. Brent's really the guy that handled the bylaws. We kind of came together and hammered things out as far as what we believe, because that's really what the bylaws do, is they talk about who we are, what we believe as an organization. And so you got to put all kinds of things in there, and it's grueling. And it's just easier a lot of times to instead of reinventing the wheel on such a huge dark document like that, just to borrow another good one from another church. And so really, that's kind of what we did, is we found a couple other ones that made sense, and we basically took what we liked and threw the rest out and put them together. But as we've now been a church for 5 years, and we've grown and we've actually lived through and walked through certain aspects of what it is to be the church and how things work, we would now go back and probably revise a few of those things. And we only recently found that out because someone actually looked at our bylaws. And yeah, it was your husband. And it's the one we're praying for in China right now, teaching people. So the church has grown, you know, in the last 5 years. I think we went from about 26 people to whatever it is that we run weekly, which is great. And there's a lot of different types of people that have come in. And there's some people that even care about how we do certain things when they come in here. And so the bylaws are where you would go for that. They can be found on our website, right? They cannot be found on the website, which is part of the reason why none of you have seen them. So what it is that if you want a, we have a statement of faith on the website, so and that's what's required. So if anyone ever wants to look at this tome of just, I don't know, it could be boringness to some of you. You can ask one of the pastors, and we can absolutely get you that. So there's a few things that we are going to go back and revise, and I believe that it's legally, we have to, when we go to revise things in our bylaws, we have to notify you guys, the congregation, before we actually do it. And so we're going to take a couple things that have come up lately to us that people have wondered about in our bylaws that we would probably revise a little bit. And so I know this sounds like it's going to be boring, but we're going to try to make this as exciting as possible for you guys. Today we're going to talk about membership in the church. How do you become a member in the body of Christ or even at the door? How many of you here, let's do some interaction first because it helps me. How many of you here would consider yourselves members at the door? Go ahead and put your hands up. That's a lot. A couple of you, if you would be so kind, why do you consider yourself a member at the door? This church is amazing. I'm gonna actually rebuke some of that as I go, but as far as the pastors, but it is an exceptional body of people that are just loving the way that you guys come together and interact with each other. Anyone else? Which is actually, thank you. We paid you to say that. Connie. Cool. You're invited in. There's something for you to do here. Boom. Correct. And we're going to talk about that. Cool.
Which gives me my membership.
You are. Yes. I need to go this way next. I'm just like... Sure. Yes. Yes, you are. Over here. Yes. Nancy. You know you do. Everyone hear what Nancy said? All right, one more. Don. It's good to end on this note of Don because 3 years ago she brought this book to me and said, you've got to read this. This is a great little book. And so I turned it sideways like I do with every book to see how thick it was. And then I opened it to see if there were pictures. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to check that out, you know. And so, and this is by Tom Rainer. It says, I am a church member is the name of the book. Super, super bite-sized, like anyone could do. And I never gave it back to her. That was like 3 years ago. So I'm going to give this back to you now. But what I want to do is recommend to anybody to grab this. This is an excellent little piece on what it is to be a member of the church. You want to run this back to Don? Thank you, Don. I underlined some things and made some notes in there for you. So... In our culture, when we think of membership or being a member of something, what comes to mind? What? Okay, fees. Everyone's thinking money first, right? What else? When you're a member of something, what else do you think of? What's that? Okay, devotion. That's actually more positive than I thought I was going to hear. Yes, Eric. Okay. Like a club, like you belong to something exclusive, maybe? That you're going to get something. Now we're getting somewhere. Yes. Rules and regulations. When I think of membership apart from the church, one word comes to mind for me, and that's perks. Like there's going to be some kind of advantage or some kind of benefit that I get out of becoming a member. Like Costco. I love Costco. I love being a member at Costco because there's so many good things and large quantities that you can walk out with. And it's a good thing, but even the country club thing, you know, we belonged to Sage Springs for a while, our family, when Gage was getting ready to go into the Navy, and it was so nice when you get past the fees that you walk in and everything's like perfect. It's like they baby you and they pamper you, and you know all the towels are always there and nicely folded and fresh, and like you know the coffee's made, and just you feel like you're treated extra special when you become a member of something like that. And I know it's silly. It's silly and it sounds obvious, but the same understanding a lot of times of membership, that kind of membership mentality, is even very alive and present in the church, where we're ultimately about us and what we can get by becoming a part of this local organization. When we were new, and we still are, we were very anti-transfer growth when we started this church. And I know some of you that don't know what that means, it means that we weren't starting a new church here so that people from this church over here would come to ours. And we're still that way. And part of the reason is because a lot of more mature, established believers that have been in churches for years have a lot of baggage. A lot of it's good, and some of it's not so good, where they've come to expect church to be done sometimes a certain way. And so one of the things we didn't want, being a missional church on mission with Jesus to reach the lost when we started this, was for people to come in and it to go from how do we reach this community for Jesus Christ to why do you do communion that way? Why do you start at 10:30? Why does your worship sound like that? Why don't you have these things? Like, we didn't want to fight that, any of that. And it becomes all about what they think or what they prefer church to be like and look like. And it's very alive in the church. And that version of membership in the church becomes about receiving instead of giving. It becomes about being served instead of serving, rights instead of responsibilities, and entitlements instead of sacrifices. And a biblical idea and model that we have for church membership flies in the face of all that. That's completely inverted as far as a biblical idea of membership. Some will say, how many of you have heard this? Church membership isn't biblical. And I would agree that a certain formality or way of formalizing church membership isn't biblical. It doesn't, there's no chapter devoted to this is how someone becomes a member of the body of Christ, and yet it is all over Scripture. We just don't look at it for what it is. And that's why I had Janet come up and read the passage that she read today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the section that she read, I believe, thoroughly and clearly speaks to biblical church membership and what it is. The reason why we don't usually see it here is because it gets overshadowed by that amazing, exciting, fascinating, controversial gift of whether tongues should be spoken in church or not. Right? Because this whole section is usually labeled in almost anybody's Bible, spiritual gifts. So we all come here and go, okay, let's look at spiritual gifts. Well, what we have running parallel that's, I believe, completely married and infused, you don't have one without the other, is the idea of membership and what each individual member brings to the body as a whole, which is manifested in the gifts of each member. That's really what we see when we come to this section of Scripture. So I just want to take a few minutes because we're, again, the next 4 weeks, we're going to do something different. This is going to be nuts and bolts, but I'm going to condense my sermon. You watch. I'm going to do that today. And then Jordan's not here today, but the pastors are all going to join each other then to talk about some of this. And we're going to go back to Q&A. So we're going to leave time to open this up so that we're not just preaching some of these doctrines at you, but that we can all together, you know, dedicate this time to having a more full understanding. So if there's any questions or anything like that on membership, at the end of this, we'll open that up and we'll get to those. So in this text, there's just three observations I want to pull out of it. Obviously, we are not going to do surgery on it. It's a big text, okay? There's just three things that I want to point out in this text. The first two verses that Janet read, chapter 12, verse 12 and 13, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews, Greeks, slaves, free, and we're all made to drink of one Spirit. So membership, biblical membership, lesson number one. If you belong to Jesus, you are a church member. If you belong to Jesus Christ, you are a church member. When did that happen? It happened when you put your faith in Christ. It happened when you were born again and when He gave you the Holy Spirit as a seal and as a claim and as a guarantee on your life that you are no longer your own, but you now belong to Him. When we got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we became members of the body of Christ, which means this. The church really is made up of two kinds of members. Obedient members and disobedient members. It is not possible for a believer to be a non-member of the Church of Jesus. If they are living as such or promoting such, then they are a disobedient member. It's the bottom line, and I know that's a little heavy, I know it's a little black and white, but I'm just going to go with what the text is telling us, all right? Being a Christian and not being committed to other Christians is like being married and living in separate rooms from your spouse. It's like being married and never interacting with your spouse or having any relations of any kind with your spouse. How would we look at that kind of marriage if we saw it occurring? It's a broken one. They're basically divorced. They're married but divorced. Okay? And it's a lot the same way when it comes to church membership with a believer who has been claimed and has been put into the body of Christ but refuses to have anything to do with it. The same thing goes for casual or recreational church going these days. And I don't just want to make this an attendance thing, but I mean, let's face it. I can't believe how much believers' interactions with the church these days has become utterly recreational. Like optional almost. Like if I don't have anything else to do, I'll do that. I'll go there. I'll see those people. Almost like going to the movies. Like it becomes a special event. Like, I think I'll go to church today. That's called dating the church. Not marrying the church. Seriously. That's dating the church. Same goes with, if we're talking about attendance, people that can show up every single week but never have any real interaction with the body of Christ or in the body of Christ. That too is dating the church. It is very possible to be bodily present physically and not present at all. I've done it at my dinner table with my family and kids many times over the years. You know what I'm saying? I've done it in my marriage many times over the years where, yeah, I'm there, I'm spending time with you, dear, but I am so not there. There is no interaction, there is no investment, there is no engagement that's going on of any real significance. And we can have that in the church a lot of times where people, even though their attendance may be good, there is absolutely nothing fusing them together to the body during that time. It could be people that come in late, sit in the back, leave early, whatever it is. And I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip on somebody, okay? I just am. It's exactly what it sounded like. That's dating the church. So many people date the church today. We need to understand that if we have been bought, we are no longer our own. We also need to understand that that is ultimately hurting us in our vertical relationship. Because God has so designed the body that it must have each part present and operable. A quick, easy way, I've been a believer for, I think, 25 years, and I've seen some of the deserts and the peaks in my Christian life, and almost every time I can see a connection between some of those times where I felt distant here, and almost always there was an aspect of it where there was distance here, horizontally, between people that I needed to speak into my life. People that have something, a gift, like Paul's saying here in Corinthians, that I don't personally have, that God has intended for me through that person. To cut myself off from that is something that's harming me and making me anemic in my Christian walk and my belief and my faith in Christ. Which brings us to number two. Membership lesson number two out of this text. Church membership is a functioning membership. not just one of being present. It is a functioning membership. A healthy church body isn't healthy just because all the parts are present. Right? Like I said, I've been bodily at the dinner table many times when I wasn't there. How many of you have ever sat down for a period of time and you've gone to get up real quick just to find that your leg is completely fallen asleep? Like no one's ever done that, right? We're just like, you know what I mean? There's nothing there. So you stay put and you slap it, you know, and you try to wiggle it around, get the blood moving through it. Again, it's not enough that your leg is present. You need your leg to be present and operable and functioning for it to benefit you, for it to do what needs to be done. And the body of Christ is the same way. In fact, Paul, if you've noticed, this whole analogy, this whole metaphor is of a physical body, right? That he's using for the church. Membership isn't just a thing that says, this is the church I go to, or this is the church that I attend. It says, this is the body I function in, and this is the body that I need in order to function. That's completely different. This is the body I function in, and this is the body that I need in order to function. This adds a whole new weight and a whole new value and a whole new purpose to what it actually means to be a member of the body of Christ. Lesson number 3 on biblical church membership. Find this in verses 14 through 27 here, pretty much. We are all necessary parts of the whole. Every single one of you. I don't care if you've never said anything out loud in one of these services. We are all necessary parts of the whole. No matter how big or how small your gifting is, no matter how significant or insignificant your gift may seem, they are all equal in necessity and equal in value, ordained by God for the well-being and the health of the body of Christ. Some of us have really loud gifts, like me. And I often wish that I had the quieter, more modest ones, like some of you. But just because your gifting is quiet or soft or modest, the text clearly tells us God gives greater honor to those. They are indispensable, meaning they cannot be replaced. The body cannot go without them. Right? The other day, I had one of those days at work where I was just felt spiritually just exhausted. I felt physically exhausted. My first couple jobs, there were conversations with customers that were just, it's not that anything bad happened, they were just downers, man, as far as things going on in their lives and things that they were dealing with. We were dealing with stuff like we deal with from week to week at church. There was just a weightiness. And at the end of that day, I got to go see this lady whose chimney I clean every year. We used to actually go to church with them like 20 years ago, one of the first churches we went to. And so once a year I go and I clean her chimney, and she saw it on me. And we sat down for about a half hour after I was done with my job, and she just imparted. I don't even think she knew she was doing it. It was just a drink of water. It was an oasis in the desert that day. And there was nothing loud about it. There was nothing flashy about it. But it was a gift that God had given her for me. And it changed things. And we see God doing that all the time in this body. You guys are amazing, by the way. I think we are so fortunate to have the kind of interaction that we have. I think it was Sam that just said it, you know, I know that I can come and I can actually be a participant in what God is doing here rather than a spectator, right? And that's intentional. We've tried to do that here because we each need what the other person has. That's what makes this thing healthy, right? We are all necessary parts of the whole. We have unfortunately gotten into a model today where we have become very comfortable, and I mean we, the church as a whole, at getting a guy who has gone and got qualified and we install him, and we give him a grand title, and we give him a big salary, and we pat him on the back, and we say, make church happen for us. That's been one of the saddest things that's happened to the church, is that we have one dude doing everything, while all those organs and body parts that are sitting in the seats are going without any function or any real need. That's not a healthy church. That is a handicapped church. That church is lame. I guess that could be funny. It was also the right word. That church is lame. Not only that, but we are each necessarily different. Every one of us are necessarily different. That's intentional on God's part, that we are not gifted the same way, right? In the body of Christ, our differences, guys, are our strengths. Our differences are our strengths. For example, the leadership team that's been talked about a little bit today, we believe in a plurality of co-pastors or co-elders. So we don't have a senior guy and then the minions. We are all on the same level as far as authority, as far as power, as far as decision making, as far as all of that. And the three of us, Brent, me, and Jordan, who's sick today, couldn't be in some ways any different from each other than we are. We are completely different. But you know what? None of that matters, because what we believe God's purpose and mission and vision is for what we're doing is rock solid across the board. So then those differences underneath that actually bring a greater fullness. They enhance everything that we're doing toward that goal of God's mission and purpose. It's a huge blessing. And it's something that's rare. I talk to guys all the time that try the team leadership church plant and don't last, because it's just too easy. It's too normalized to fit into that template. It's easier for one guy to not have to contend with or kick against other people while he's doing whatever it is he's doing. Now, I have a strong personality. I think any of you that have been here for a little while know that.
Really?
Like, yeah, it's true. Right? It's hard to believe. I'm a passionate person in more ways than one. I believe that God's given that to me. I believe that our strengths can also be our greatest weaknesses for everybody, depending on how we're using them. And so if I'm staying humble before God and I'm using them to His glory and keeping myself in check and being kept in check, it's actually a good thing. So I tend to see things and have definite ideas about how certain things should be done. And these guys are so good, they know when to come alongside and allow that to be fostered. Same thing with Brent. Brent's got a whole level of his brain that mine is missing. I was going to say it different, but let's just say Brent's smarter than me, okay? And Jordan's smarter than both of us put together. And so there's times where we'll come across stuff like bylaws or administrative stuff or just organization, you know, where it's like, you take and run with this thing, you know? But what we end up getting is, between three lame guys, we get a pretty deal. We like to tell people when we go places, the three of us together make one decent pastor. And that's true. That's basically how we say it. We are necessarily different. It's intended. And our tendency, I think, is to see something we like on the outside and go, I want to be like that. And so we try to shape ourselves and fit ourselves into that. And so many times, though, I think we're actually removing something from ourselves by trying to become something that we're not. We need to see how God has already built us and wired us, because Psalm 139 tells us that He has intricately, specially, specifically, and we need to work on letting those things come out, learning to identify and walk in those things. And those differences make us stronger and better as a church. I'm going to bring Brent up here now. We are going to, he is going to, the smart one is going to talk about some bylaw stuff with you guys to help you better understand that, and then we'll go into a Q&A time.
The one thing I want to say first is that, and David already mentioned this, but we miss out. Others miss out. You don't just miss out when you're not a part of the body, but everybody around you misses out too. And it's just important that you understand that. If you're not showing up here and you're not serving here, we're losing out on that. So anyway, the Constitution or the bylaws, it's funny because I remember John, when we told him we had them, he was surprised. He's like, oh, wow, I didn't see that coming. So that was cool. I was like, we actually have this. In order to be a true 501c3, you know, government recognized nonprofit organization, we have to have these. So even if we didn't want them, we have to, I guess. So what we've put together is available to anybody that wants to look at it. And, you know, like he said, we are going to change some things, but I'm going to read part of what is in here. The first thing that it says is the extent of our Constitution. It says the Constitution is not infallible. It does, however, reflect an honest and sincere attempt to apply the principles of Scripture in ordering the life of this local Christian fellowship. Furthermore, we as members of this fellowship, including the elders and pastors, commit ourselves to follow this Constitution in ordering the life of this fellowship. So this is really like the governing document of how we're supposed to do things. And that's why it's important that if we put it together and written it down, that we're actually following what's in there. And so we started looking and thinking, well, some of this stuff we probably like to do different. So originally when we talked about membership, when Doug was, you know, present with us and we were doing it together, we decided we want everybody to kind of like sign something and do something formal. And, you know, over the years, what we found is because somebody signs something or because they stand up in front of somebody, it doesn't guarantee that they're, you know, more committed or less committed. It just, it doesn't always mean something. So we've broken down the membership into two categories. One is what David talked about, membership of, you know, if you're a member of Christ, you're a member of the body. But then there are those people who are committed, and we're going to refer to those people as those on mission with the door. And that's a whole different level. So I like the way you broke it down. It was actually right in there.
Okay.
There's the disobedient and the obedient. So, everybody, if you're a Christian, you are a member. But there are those who are on mission, and that's, I think we want to kind of define that because he said he wasn't going to preach a full sermon, but he got pretty close.
Oh, wow. Even though we're not going to have you guys sign a piece of paper or anything like that, we won't go there for various reasons. We are going to urge you guys continually to be a biblically committed member of the body, if you call this your home. And by that, what we're going to do is we're going to ask you guys to confirm regularly in your lives and to each other just certain things. Committing yourself to a few things that are going to allow us to be everything that God has intended us to be as a body on mission with Him. So you can jot these down if you want to, or you can go back and listen to the recording afterward. But these are things that come under everything that we've talked about, everything that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 12, and that will allow us to be healthy. The first one is these are things we'd like to ask you to do. As a member of the body of Christ at the door, seek to be a source of unity in the church. I want you to seek to the stuff simple, but it's not always practiced by us. I mean, we all know that. You know, we've all got our stuff and our time. We do know, though, we all understand, just even with our physical body, that what we put into the body matters, usually has some kind of response. So if we're putting bad things into the body of Christ, like gossip and negativity and resentment and bitterness and anger and competition and envy, all that stuff's going to reflect in the body as a whole. Right? The body will respond that way. We're asking you guys to put good things into the body. God in the Bible is asking you to put his intention and his design for the body is to put good things into the body. In fact, if you keep reading through this passage, 1 Corinthians 12, you get to 1 Corinthians what? Yep, wasn't a trick question. 13. 13 is known as the love chapter. And a lot of times we go to that chapter for marriages that are struggling or whatever, but Paul has written that chapter that follows 12, the love chapter, to the body of Christ as part of what it is to be a part of the body of Christ. We need to put love in. We need to seek for things that are unifying. You want to speak to that one?
I just want to say, if there's any of you who are lacking peace and unity with somebody else in the church, I would just encourage you to get that resolved. And if you need one of us to step in and help with that, we want to do that because that benefits everybody.
Yeah, so the first one is, as a member of the body of Christ, seek to be a source of unity in the church. Now, these are the things that we would obviously encourage you guys, no matter where you're at. You know, most of you will not be at the door all your lives, but you are a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, no matter where you go. These are things that God wants from you. Number two is, a member of the body of Christ, I will not let my church be about my preferences and about my desires. This is huge. We are here to be not about ourselves. We are here to serve instead of be served. Now, you are going to get benefits back by being a member. That's clear. You know, we've already talked about how important it is that that we're not isolated, but that we're part of the body as a whole, because you are going to receive blessing from that. But do it with humility. Do it with meekness. Do it with a thankful heart to God. All right. As a member of the body of Christ, I will not let my church be about my preferences and my desires. You want to add to that one? As a member of the body of Christ, I will seek opportunity to walk in my God-given gifts and strength. That's what we just saw here in chapter 12. We don't want you guys to just be present. We want you guys to be present and functioning so that we can all benefit from what it is that God has specifically given you for us, for the greater good. As a member of the body of Christ, I will seek opportunities to walk in my God-given gifts and strengths.
I just want to say, I've never seen a church that does it as well as you guys do. And I would just, you know, continue. If you haven't gotten plugged in, if you aren't serving, find a way to do that. We're better for it.
As a member of the body of Christ, I will pray for my pastors every day. It's not because we're greater than you or more important than you, but we are knuckleheads that need a lot of grace, that need a lot of patience, that need a lot of love and support, which again, we do feel like we get from you guys. So what we're really asking is for you to continue that. Because this job, this calling is not always easy. Just about every week at some point, it's not always serious, don't freak out, but there's a point I get to where it's like, I don't even need to be doing this. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't how I pay my mortgage. No one told me to do this. I could just quit and it could all be over. My life could be way easier. You know what I mean? And I don't mean that. I'm just trying to be honest with you guys. Like, there are, like, when you shepherd people and the messes that go on, you don't punch a time clock. Your brain is always on duty. Your heart and your emotions are always on duty. And sometimes it just gets to be a lot. That's not to say that there are not extreme rewards and joys also in what we see, because there are. There's times that we feel like the selfish ones because we have front row seats to so many rad things that God is doing in your guys' life. So, but we need your prayer. And our wives need your prayer. And our kids need your prayer. Because we are not the only ones running across the front line in the battle. I mean, we are literally going across the front line of the battle, across the battlefield, bullets whizzing by. Sometimes we get hit. Sometimes our families even get hit. Sometimes our families take one. All right. And so we really covet your guys' prayers.
Add to that one. Amen.
Amen. All right. Two more. As a member of the body of Christ, I will lead my family to be good members of the church. So this isn't just about you taking care of yourself. If you are responsible for a family, children and spouse, that is also your duty to train them and teach them with the mind of God as they come in and be a part of the body too. Okay? Okay, last one. As a member of the body of Christ, I will see my membership as a gift, not an entitlement. I will see my membership as a gift, not an entitlement. I don't know about you, but I did not pay for my membership at this church or any other church that Jesus is the head of. I didn't put 1 cent toward the membership that I stand here and I hold in Christ, and neither did you. What we have, what we receive, what we experience, what we're a part of is nothing short of an absolute gift and miracle by the grace and love of God for you. I don't deserve to be a part of what I'm a part of, and neither did you. But it did come at a huge cost. Your membership. It's one that Jesus paid. Jesus Christ bought our membership so that we can be a part of this club, which is an eternal one, which is one that is soaked and immersed in the love of God. And we get to be a part of it because Jesus paid for our membership. Jesus is the cardholder. And you know what? He's still accepting applications for membership. Seriously. He's got more to hand out. Which is why this church exists. And this is that thing which we all come together on and are all moving toward. It's the glory of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ to everybody around us. That's what this church is about. And Jesus has more memberships to hand out. If you're here today, you cannot pay for what He's holding out for you. You can only receive it. And you are invited to receive it. Our Bible tells us that. It's for you. It's for you. And it's a lifetime membership. We probably go on and on with that analogy. So, as a member of the body of Christ, I will see my membership as a gift, not an entitlement. I'm going to add to that one. Yep, absolutely. Are there any questions on membership at the door or anything that's, you know, even in the text, whatever? We can take a few minutes to straighten that out. This is a great time to do it. This is just like having a family meeting. This is how we do things here. So, yes, Connie.
You know what? Honestly, there's a place in our bylaws that currently talk about that we'll, you know, as we unveil this and as we say it. But ideally, this is what we would like. When you guys show up here, if you've left another church, we want to make sure that you've cleaned your side of the street when it comes to that other church. So if you need to go back and make anything right there, we want you to do that. If you need to let them know that, I mean, I appreciate it. If somebody's not going to come here anymore, I know we all do, that they come and talk to us about it. Let us know why and so forth. And so there is a you know, whether it's an official resigning of membership or whether it's just making sure that everything's been talked about and dealt with and you've left on great terms, they know where you are and that you're under church authority again. That's a wonderful thing. So yes, do that, but it's not like, you know, you can't come here if you don't do that type of thing, but we would highly encourage it. We always do.
I wasn't asked to leave the last church that we were at, but our pastor did suggest to Doug at that time, a pastor here, that we would be better off here.
A little late?
I guess it is a little late for this statement, but what I was saying was, because of the involvement that Sherry and I have in any church that we go to, our previous, it was called TFAB, that pastor did suggest to Doug, who was at that time one of our pastors, that we would be better off here.
That might have had something to do with the fact that you lived in this community, I'm hoping. But the truth is, we have, and this isn't meant to be unkind or mean, but sometimes we recognize that this isn't going to be the best church for everyone. There's people that have come here with almost like the mindset of, what have you got for me? And we've said we've got a nice service for you, and then a door that you can take off out of and
door that
find,
both ways.
Find that place that, you know, that you can really consume. Cause yeah, we want everybody to grab a weapon, grab an oar, do something, you know, useful at this place. And so we're not going to be a fit for everybody. And we know that. And God is really taking care of that, really, in His sovereignty. Julie.
When I hear church membership, the hair on the back of my neck stands up because I think you're going to make me ask me to sign something, and I don't want to do that. So I love that you clarified we're members of the body of Christ. We're not talking about, you're not priming us to be signing something that says we agree with everything in a big document, even if you're refining it. Are you?
Nope. No.
Great.
We won't.
I just wanted to clarify that because, wow, church membership has a really negative connotation.
No,
probably not just to me, but
we don't want to have anybody sign anything. Some people actually do better if they stand up and commit to something, or if they sign something. If somebody wants to, like, come up and tell us that, you know, we're on mission with you guys and vocalize it and do it even in front of, we don't mind that if that's going to help you. But what we found is that whether you sign or don't sign, it doesn't always necessarily mean a deeper level of commitment. Many of you have been on mission with us since the beginning, and it's clear that that's what you're doing, and signing something doesn't make it any more of a reality. So
there are a lot of reasons why churches have gone that way, and that's kind of why I wanted us to look at this text and see, because I'm the same way, where that word always does something bad with me, until I started looking at the biblical idea of church membership, which is ridiculously beautiful when you see what how God's designed it and put it together. A lot of people, it's the formalities and the way that we do it, like I said at the beginning, that can freak some people out, and I think freaks me out. We talked about the signing thing. A lot of people have gone to signing, and I know this is going to sound stupid, but this is one of the reasons, is because we are such a sue happy society now that a lot of, it's illegal, it's more legal than anything why a lot of churches have gone to the signature, so that if church discipline or anything negative comes out upon that person between their relationship with the church and themselves, that there's some kind of document there. From what I've seen, people are still getting taken, even if people are signing those things. But it's more of a legal thing. We believe that God's sovereign over that. We believe He's sovereign over the door. We believe the door is here and exists and is going to continue to exist because God wants a work done in this area. So part of it is believing that theology, that, you know, or I think having faith and walking in that theology is why we've decided not to go that way.
Actually, the gates of hell will not prevail against His church, and that's what we're banking on, the words of Christ Himself. Legally, you know, come at us with your best. You're fighting against the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the risen Lord and Savior. Give it your best, you know. He's not.
And let's face it, if someone wants to sue a church, they come to the wrong church. I mean, look at this, man. We don't even have finished walls or paint. I mean, we don't have money. And I think that's pretty evident when people get like, there's some other churches I could point you to if you want to go that route. So anyway, I know that was kind of stupid and silly, but yeah, we are at time. So we're not going that way with signing. Is there anything else, or are we good?
Well, we're good.
Oh,
yeah. I got a comment to make on what you said about sometime maybe in the middle of the week you just think, I don't need to do this. It could be so much easier. And you know, when you become a Christian, we all know it's not easy. You know, and you have to keep on. You have to be all in for Jesus. Whatever you do, He was all in for us. It's like there's no result. A bodybuilder doesn't really want to go to the gym sometimes and keep, you know, working out, or a gymnast, to get that end result. And if you just don't keep on and giving it all, you know, you're not going to get that end result, which is, you know, eternal paradise and have, you know, this where Jesus, God says, well done, right? So, you know, I think a lot of us feel that way. And that's why you got to be involved with, you know, prayer meetings and, you know, just fellowship with the, you know, others, and just be doing something as a group. And we try to do that, most of us. And so anyway, so I understand where you're coming from.
Oh, now you want to start heading up?
If anyone has to go because we're at time, we, you know, that's cool. You can do that if you can do that quietly. But we may just stay for a couple more questions and then a song. But if you got to go, you're more than welcome to do that.
I don't have a question specifically involving this, but I just wanted to know, I know Jordan's not here right now, but can I just come up and pray for you two pastors?
No. No, you can't.
All right. I'm not nervous or anything. Lord, I just want to thank you just for bringing David and my dad and Jordan, not specifically just into my life, but just I can speak on behalf of the church and just say into all of our lives, just what a blessing that they are. And I thank you for the role models that they've been to me personally, but also just through this church. I know that it's not always easy to follow the path that you've laid out before us. And I thank you just for the way that these men are just doing it so beautifully in my life and in the lives of the people here. So I just thank you for David and for Jordan and my father, just for the roles that they have in our lives, and just that they will speak the hard truths, even though it doesn't always make them everybody's favorite people, but just that they'll follow what it is you're calling them to do, even though that's not easy. So I just thank you for the blessing that they are, and just for putting them into my life, into our lives, God. So just thank you for them. And I just pray that they will not feel discouraged in what they're doing. Just that sometimes it's easy when you're in a place of leadership just to feel a lot of pressure, just because a lot of eyes are on you. So I just pray that you will give them restoration, that you will give them rest, that you will give them just provision over whatever they need, and just that they will continue to trust in you and just follow after you. So blessings over them. Amen.
Thank you.